Hello, and welcome to Living Proof, the teaching ministry of Joseph Castillo. We encourage you to listen to today's message over and over again, so that the Word of God will be in your spirit. Be a blessing, share it with your friends, and we pray that you'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We also invite you to visit us online at www.anifbeijing.com.
Matter of fact, one of my friends, I forgot his name, I think it was Jarrett Smith, he got arrested in China, and they brought him to the police station, and they had these torture tables in the police station in China where they strap you down and they beat you and torture you in the local precinct. This is Chinese on Chinese crime. This is, you know, this is in China. So, and we know what the Chinese do to the Uyghurs. So, you know, the problem of civil overreach, governmental overreach, police overreach, police brutality, this is an international, worldwide problem. But the answer is not to dismantle authority. The answer is to have greater checks and balances, greater accountabilities, and greater trainings, and these type of things, which I would stand for also. I would let my voice be known for also, but I would not break the law for, as far as tearing down, destroying other people's property and so forth. So we see that people have lost their mind. Now, I guarantee you that none of the people looting and robbing and stealing, I guarantee you none of them were Tylers. Guarantee you that. And so now we have allowed a wicked, unsaved, unregenerate generation begin to rise up and be manipulated by political brainwashing to create anarchy and violence and to erode society. And as a prophet of God, and as the saints of God, and as believers, we are to preserve. We are to be salt. We are to preserve. But when pastors and ministers and Christians suddenly black out their Facebook profiles, Instagram profiles, put the little fist up on their TikToks, begin to, you know, put George Floyd up on their banners with Mahatma Gandhi, we become now part of the problem. We become the fuel to the fire, Satan's fire, to tear down society, to destroy and create division. But we're not called to destroy and create division. We're called to build the old waste cities. We're called to restore. So we've had now a double attack. We've had the COVID virus, which is an attack that's backed by a very high up conspirators from the Bilderberg Group, from the Rockefeller Foundation, from the Illuminati. And then this is to bring in governmental controls, police state, and inject with the virus to depopulate the earth. And then we have the agenda of American liberals to destroy the paternal family, BLM, then to destroy the civil authorities with Antifa. And now we are living in this great time of spiritual warfare. There's a clashing. There is a fight to rule planet Earth. And you are living in that time. You do not need to choose sides of who is right. You need to stick with what is right. Not who is right, what is right. The police who do brutality, the police who killed George Floyd, they're wrong. But also, the people who are burning down homes, breaking into stores, they're also wrong. And when you march with them, see, because the overplay is march during the day, riot at night. March during the day, right? And like, this is the plan. The plan is by 8 p.m. start to come out, begin to spit in the face of the police, begin to throw things at them, instigate them, agitate them, catch them doing things on film, and then boom. While their police are all caught up over here, busy, then the other groups of Antifa are handing out bricks and hammers, and they're getting young Black people to encourage them. And many young Black people said, no, I'm not going to do that. No, get away from me. You know, and have told them off on video. We've seen leaked videos of this. But they're trying to find people who that they can manipulate. White people in cars with hammers and bricks, trying to give them to Black young people to try and get them to go and loot and to rob and destroy. And so what does that do? That now creates a greater a spirit of racism as people are in their home that are Asian or white or Native American, and they're watching the videos and they see, oh, look at these people that have broken into these stores and burned them down. Now they're more afraid of them. Now they're more racist against them. And it's actually promoting racism. So you marching during the day don't realize that you are part of the overplay. You're part of the overplay. So we need to, as a church, begin to think, and as Christians, begin to remove our support of that, remove our Black pictures, all blackout on social media, remove our hashtags, BLM. We need to withdraw our support and then create a peacemaking, a reconciliation-making effort. Because the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall inherit the earth. We need to be peacemakers. Do you hear me? Somebody type in amen. We need to be peacemakers. So this is the time of crisis that we're in. And what I want to do is I want to give you a moment, those of you who are watching this broadcast, and I want you to pray with you that God would give you wisdom on how you can be a peacemaker. You can make a difference. I know that arguing with people can be very fruitless, but I don't want to encourage you to just argue and fight people on social media. I want you to think about how you can be a peacemaker and that God would grant you the wisdom to be a healer and not a divider during this time. Because the balm, the healing balm of the church is needed. But unfortunately, a large part of the church is actually marching with them. And they don't understand that that's just the overplay for the underlay. We need to withdraw our support, make a clear difference between us and them, and ask God how we can be a healing balm. And I've seen a few people out there ministering to the police, praying for the police, protecting for the police. You are the salt of the world. Not that idiot pastor hashtagging BLM, blacking out his Facebook page. You are. It doesn't matter. And they've been mostly Black Christians out there praying for the officers, protecting them. Wow. That's my brother. That's my sister. Hallelujah. Praying for, protecting, telling kids to put down your bricks. One mama beat her kid at one of the riots, grabbed him by his ear, and pulled him home. The salt of the earth, the light of the world. Let's pray for you. Father God, we just pray in Jesus' name that you would give wisdom to the saints of God, to the church, that you would give wisdom to them, Father God, how they can be salt and they can be light, how they can have their become an answer to this situation. I pray that they be, Father God, anyone that's just been under the seduction, that's been blindsided by this movement to destroy the family unit with BLM, to destroy civil authorities with Antifa, that don't understand that they become pawns in the overplay in order for the underlay to come to pass. And now that we've waken up, let us pull back and withdraw our moral support, our vocal support, our social media support, and let us have wisdom how we can be a healer, how we can bring a healing balm, how we can bring a restoration, how we can bring peace, how we can bring, Father God, salvation that we can bring reconciliation. For your word says in 2 Corinthians 5:18 that you have given us all the ministry of reconciliation. Let us, Father God, love our different colors of brothers and sisters. Let us love our authorities, our teachers, our police, our government leaders, even in cities like Minneapolis, cities like Seattle, where government leadership is insane and allowed lawlessness. Let us love and have compassion and pray for them and be a solution. Father God, we need to lead them through love. We understand that they're blind. We understand that they're part of the conspiracy. We understand that, Father God, they're blind leaders of the blind. But how can we heal? How can we lead? How can we be a voice of reason and not antagonizing, Father God? Let us not be antagonizers, Lord, but let us be healers. Let us be salt. Let us be light. And let us speak the truth and awaken the church out of her slumber, we pray. And I pray your wisdom be upon every believer, that you could even give us some subtle thing to do, to be peacemakers. We love every demographic. We even love the LGBT, the transgender. We love them, Father God. How can we love them and lead them into a place of wholeness, a place of healing of sexual identity, a place of restoration and healing of the wounds of the heart? It's too easy to slip into fighting with people, Father God. But how can we bring reconciliation, wholeness, and healing to America? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's worship together. We have a song prepared for you from the Dream Church in Canton. Let's worship together, and we're going to talk about what you can do in the time of crisis to rise above financially, to rise above in health, to rise above and move forward into your purpose, into your calling. Let's look at that after we worship a moment here with the Dream Church in Canton, Georgia.
Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God. Oh, thank you for your love. Sing this out. When I was your foe. When I was your foe, still your love fought for me. You have been so good to me. When I felt the worth, you paid it all for me. Yes, you did. You have been so kind. couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Still you give yourself away. Lonely, overwhelming, ever-ending, endless love of God. Yeah. Oh, oh yes. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your love. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
Come on, sing that out. No shadow.
There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down.
Praise the Lord. Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. We thank you for tuning in. And we're going to share with you what to do in the time of crisis. As you understand that when God began to create the world and he began to create his children and he put his children in the world, he had understood that there would be certain entities that would be made up and that there would be certain things that would happen in life and a civilization that would fluctuate and change circumstances for his children. And it's quite interesting that when God made Adam and Eve in the book of Genesis, Genesis is my favorite book, and we're reading today from Genesis. We're looking today at Genesis chapter 12 to start off with. But it's quite interesting when you begin to look at the book of Genesis, that you begin to see that God made Adam and Eve, and he put them in the Garden of Eden. And, you know, in that Garden of Eden, his children were owners of and possessors of all things. The gold that was there, the oil, the diamonds, the silver, the fruits, the animals, the vegetation, all those things were the resources that he had. And even as time went on and things happened, societies were built up, types of currencies were built up, and different things began to come about. And God wanted to make a plan to provide for his children and to take care of his children and to help them develop their potential and fulfill their calling and be everything that God had put in their DNA to become and to be. And he did not ever want them to be bound by the limitations of what is happening in society or what is happening in their governmental area or what is happening in their economy. And I believe that as we come closer to the end, we have to go back to economy. We have to go back to the Garden of Eden economy. I believe that believers need to go back to owning land, getting land, possessing land. One of the primary things that God promised his children was land. And we need to go back and we need to look at these promises. And I think we need to press in and say, I need to buy a lot of land. I need to own some land. And see, when you have land, you can now grow things. So now, even if the grocery stores are emptied out, you can still grow things. So I believe that as we come closer to the end, it's getting more and more important for the church to be able to grow their own fruits and vegetables, have their own chickens. One of the things I learned when I was in Hawaii with Harold Jones and the Global Health Network, we learned how to catch a chicken, kill a chicken, defeather a chicken, and then we made chicken nuggets. One of the things we learned there. And so I believe that we're coming to a place where God wants us to be independent. God wants us to be able to sustain not only ourselves, but us also sustain others through a certain level of independency. And we can have our own chickens, we can have our own eggs, we can have our goats, and we had a delicious goat meal. Harold Jones has some goats, and we had a nice goat meal and some delicious goat meat. And so we had rice and all these things. And I believe that as we get close to the end, it's more important for us to have our own land, our own animals, our own vegetation, and we also having different things that we learn how to take water and fill up this bag of water. We had this black bag of water, and then we hung it up with a string. And with this water that we could, water that we could catch from the rain, so there's a rain entrapment. You can catch that rain, or you can dig a well if you have that area. Has water underneath the ground, you can either dig a well or you can catch the rain from a rain entrapment. And you can then take that water and you can put this water in a bag, you leave it out in the sun, and then you'll have a nice warm shower. And then what you do is you just pull the lever and then the water will come down and you can have a nice outdoor shower. You can have a nice outdoor latrine, and you can build on a property ability to be self-sufficient. That if there ever was a time where the grocery stores run out of things, water companies have a problem, and there's a poisoning or a terrorist attack on the water supplies, that we have a system on a little property. It doesn't have to be a big property. It could literally be a very small piece of land, and you have your area for the chickens, you have your area for the goats, you have your home, you have a rain entrapment, you have a porta potty, not a porta potty, but a pit latrine, you have outdoor showers. And you can literally sustain yourself through having some simple, very economic, very cheap things. And you can feed yourself and even feed other families. And I believe as we get closer to the end, it's becoming more and more important for the church to do these things. One of the things that we have in our vision is to create a wealth-creating platform. We're calling it a kingdom economy. To have a kingdom economy, wealth-creating platform. We have relationships with gold miners in Liberia, and we're having gold coins minted with our All Nations International Fellowship logo, with our crest and so forth. We're going to have that minted, and we're just moving towards having a separate economy, to having a picture of what God gave Adam. I want to have a land. I want to have my own gold, my own silver, my own animals, our own, self-sufficient land and property, so we can be able to stand in the days to come. But it's interesting that God blessed that. And we look here at Genesis chapter 12, starting with verse 1. And if you're interested in more about connecting with us on the kingdom economy, getting your own gold and your own silver coins, you could purchase that from us in the near future. Connect with us. We're also going to make investments available for people that say, you know, I don't have $100,000, $200,000 in the bank to invest in real estate, but I have $4,000 that I have. Maybe you got it from your IRS check, your taxes or something. And then maybe there's 10 families that all have $4,000. And we could partner that with an investor that has $50,000. And now we could get a house that could be rented out. You could own a share of that house with your $4,000. And you could earn $40 a month, $50 a month from your $4,000 investment. So there's things that we want to be able to do through bringing together the body of Christ, bringing together the kingdom of God, so other people that don't have the big investment money can at least begin to participate. You might be able to just have 4 or 5 ounces of gold. But that's a start. It's something that you have that rust that cannot corrupt, that thieves can't break through and steal, something that you're not going to put in the bank, so to speak, and the bank can lock and freeze your assets. It's not going to be put in cash tender where the dollar can lose its value. Gold, silver, eggs, animal, land, real estate. We're looking to put this together, and hopefully you'll be hearing from us soon about more things in that regard. But God told Abraham here in Genesis chapter 12, he said, "Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land." So I know you've been dependent on this system. You've been dependent on your job. You've been dependent in living where you pay rent. And you've been dependent on this system or having a mortgage where you're paying a mortgage payment. The bank owns your house. And you've been in this system where you have food and you have clothing and you have resources and you're part of this system. But he said, I'm going to bring you to a place, and I'm going to bring you to a place where there's land. Somebody type into the comments, land, please. Type into the comments, land. He said, I'm going to bring you to a land that I will show thee. You see, the way that the Holy Spirit works and he gives you things is by showing you a promise in the spirit realm, either through a dream or through a word of knowledge or prophetic word. He shows you land and he shows you to it. Now it's your responsibility to now engage, to go after that land, and to seize the promises that God has revealed to you by his spirit. We don't have time today, but I want to show you that another place in the Bible that he says the things that are freely given to us by the spirit. So the spirit of God would reveal to Abraham, he said, I'll reveal to you, I'll show you a land that I will give you. So God will show you a wife that he will give you. He will show you a car that he will give you. He will show you, you know, me and my wife, we just got a 2020 brand new, praise Jesus, a brand, hallelujah. I'm just thanking God for a brand new 2020, excuse me, not 12, 2020 fully loaded luxury Nissan Rogue SUV. And the beauty of this car, praise God, is that it's $40,000. Now, if somebody would have donated to me $40,000 and said, here's $40,000, you can go buy a car. Yes, I could buy that car for $40,000. But also with that $40,000, I could also leverage things. I could also leverage things, and I could do things with that $40,000 that will increase later on and will bring great increase. Or I could put that $40,000 into a car, which is a depreciating asset, right? So for me, what was the best blessing? The best blessing was for me to get a car where it didn't cost me money. So lo and behold, you know, we got an opportunity through my wife because she has a green card. We were able to finance a car at 0% at zero down, no money down, and then also a very cheap payment, about $500 a month, and then no money down, and the interest rate is so low that we'll only pay $2,000 total for the entire car. So we borrowed $40,000 for $2,000. Praise God. So $2,000 interest, boom, $40,000 lent to us for the car. And now instead of sinking $4,000, $5,000 in a used car, $10,000 or $40,000, now we just make a little payment and we have access to a brand new car that runs great and it will last a long time. And we have any money that comes to the ministry, we can now use that to leverage to get an appreciating asset. So now with $40,000, I can now buy a condo in Tulsa. And with that condo in Tulsa, I can pay cash. And not only pay cash, I can now rent it out for $700. And I can make $500 a month off of that $40,000. Or I could have bought a car and not made anything off of it and have an asset that's depreciating. Where $40,000, I could buy a condo that's appreciating and bring in an income of $500 a month and paying off that car. Boom. So you see, God gives you wisdom and he leads you and he guides you and he leads and guides everyone according to, you know, how he deals with you and your conviction. But he shows you how to do it and he shows you when and where and how that you could increase, because it is the will of God, it is the plan of God to increase you. If you think God burned down your house, if you think God sent you some guy to knock you up, get you pregnant, and disappear, you don't understand the Bible. The Bible tells us that the thief, Satan, he is the detractor. He is the subtractor. He is the one that brings decrease in your life. But Jesus said, I bring you life, and I bring you life more abundantly. He is the increaser. God is the God that brings addition. He brings multiplication. He is not the divider, and he is not the subtractor. He is the multiplier and the adder. Matter of fact, even my name Joseph means he shall multiply. God is the God of increase and multiplication. Location. And he says, I will show you a land, but I'm going to need you to leave your dependencies, and I'm going to show you a land. And in verse 2, he says this. Now watch this. He said, and I will make of thee a great nation. This is the promise of God to Abraham. Now you have to closely look at these promises and receive them as yours, because the Bible tells us that the promises that God gave to Abraham belong to you in Jesus. So he's not just talking to Abraham. Don't just imagine back thousands of years ago, God talking to Abraham, but I want you to imagine God's talking to you right now on Facebook. And he says, I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee. That word bless means empower to prosper. Somebody type that in, empower to prosper. He says, I will bless thee. I will empower you to prosper. And I will make thy name great. That doesn't mean you'll have a lot of letters in your name. It'll be very long. What's your name? Oh, hi, I'm Super Catchy Expialidocious. No, he's not talking about the length of your name. He's talking about the fame of your name. I'll make your name great. That your name will have great fame. I'll bless you, that I'll prosper you, and I'll make your name great. In other words, I'll make you rich and famous. This is God's idea. This is Jehovah's idea. This is the Lord Jehovah, the Lord God Almighty, that says it's his idea to make you rich and famous. And thou shalt be a blessing. oh, well, Bishop, I don't want to be famous. I have no ambition to be famous. I have no ambition to be rich. That's because you have no ambition to be a blessing. If you have an ambition to be a blessing, guess what? You're going to need some money. You're going to need some influence. You know how many people you can bless with just influence? I have my friend, Pastor Scott Larson. He came down here to the river for the revival. Out of all the pastors that are sitting in the back, he sat on the front. He got to meet Pastor Ronnie Howard Brown personally. Pastor Ronnie Howard Brown patted him on his just said hello, greeted him, patted him on his chest four times, and the fire of God shot through Pastor Scott's body all the way down to his toes. When he got back to his church in Southern Illinois on Sunday, the fire poured out, and while he was preaching, people were weeping all over the congregation. Then when he laid his hands on one lady, fire shot through her. She hit the ground speaking in tongues. All because an impartation from the greeting when Pastor Ronnie patted him on his shoulder, patted him on his chest. How did he get that seat in the front row? How did he get to come into the VIP and meet Pastor Ronnie? It's because he was with somebody who had the influence. You see, it's all about influence. I spent the last 10 years on yachts, in mansions, in like Bentleys and Rolls Royces, driving around China. I mean mansions that are like bigger than almost, I mean, like they look like cities. That's how big these mansions were. Eating the most expensive delicacies, fine fish, and they even killed a cow right there for us in the afternoon and prepared steaks for us for dinner off a fresh cow in this mansion and have expensive fish and all these delicious things. And I was enjoying the billionaire lifestyle in China. They didn't give me cash, but I just got to hang out with them, enjoy that lifestyle. Even Pastor Bryle from Journey Church got to go with me to one of those dinners, and he met NBA players, and he met famous stars, and we were together eating fine food, the finest, most expensive delicacies from top of the line chefs, organic, everything. We were able to enjoy that because I had a friend, and my friend is influential. He's famous. He's a comedian. He's a famous comedian. He's my friend, so I got to enjoy that. Then I got to also enjoy celebrity and stardom in China because of my friend got me onto his TV show. I didn't ask him, he asked me. I got on a TV show, people loved me, and I became famous there. That influence opened up TV shows all across the country. That influence opened up favor with the police, that when the police came to raid my church, they recognized me, they patted me on the butt, they took a picture with me to send to their mother, because the mother was a fan of mine. That's influence. See, you think, oh, I don't want to be rich. Oh, I don't want to be famous. Because you don't understand the purpose of it is to be an influence. The purpose of it is to be a blessing. God wants to make you a blessing. Well, you might say, well, I'm just a single mom from Chicago, whatever. I'm just, from the hood. I'm just an orphan boy from the ghetto, from the hood of Chicago, plucked up out of prison and put before great and honorable men. God does not discriminate based upon your education, based upon your background, your color, or your degree. God discriminates based upon your faith. If you believe the word, then you'll see the power of God. So he says here, I'll make you great nation, I'll bless thee, and I'll make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. He goes on to say, I'll bless them that bless you, and I'll curse them that curse you, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now that there was a prophecy of Jesus, that through the line of Abraham, Jesus would come, and all humanity would be blessed. But you can have a portion of it, and you can say, well, Lord, through me, I pray 1,000 families will be blessed. I pray that I'll reach 20,000 families. You know how many families have been blessed in my life? People that I've led to the Lord that have now saved, and now their kids will be saved, and their kids' kids will be saved. All those families have been blessed through meeting me at a gas station and I prayed for them, meeting me at a Bob Evans and I prayed for them, led them to Christ, changed the course of their lives. In you, God wants to bless all families of the earth. And this now is going to be a covenant between you and God. It's not going to be dependent upon the economy, the system, or anything that you trusted in your parents' house, where he said, come out into a land that I will show you, and there I will bless you. And I will do things independent of the system around you. This is the covenant that God has with all of his children. If you would believe it, if you would receive it, you would apply it. Now, there's a few more verses I want to go into, but we'll go into this tomorrow. What to do in the time of crisis. Tomorrow we'll be talking about the covenant of blessing in crisis. The covenant of blessing in crisis. And we'll continue on. But before we do that, I want to give you an opportunity to give. As you've been watching this this show and this time and ministry with you, you've seen on the bottom of the screen different avenues for you to sow and to give. Be a part, invest in the kingdom, sow a seed, do something that would honor God, that would activate your faith, that would release the blessing of God in your life. As you prepare your seed, prepare your offering, we also have Venmo. If you want to give by Venmo, just send me a message and I'll instantly send you back a message with our Venmo information. If you want to write a check, I'll also, you could actually write a check out and just take a picture of the front and back and just send it to me on Facebook, and I can take a picture of that and toss that directly. So you can even write a check and just send me a picture of it. And we love you, and we want to just bring you one worship song as you prepare your tithe and your offering, and then we'll pray.
I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship. worship you. I worship you.
Praise God. Well, I want to pray a blessing for anyone who gave, and only for those who gave, because there is no blessing without giving. I know people in church always say, bless those who gave and bless those who don't give. That's unbiblical. The blessing only comes on those who give. So we just pray for those who gave and sowed or supported or tithe to the ministry today. And we just pray, Father God, your blessing upon them. We pray, God, that you would increase them. We pray, God, that you would release them to be independent in the world system. Bless their seed, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that you would fulfill according to your mighty power, your covenant promise, which you swore unto us through our lineage in Abraham all the way through the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray a blessing upon them that they would become great, that you'd make of them a great family, a great influential family in this earth. That, Father God, you would make their name great and famous, Father God, influence and influential. And that, Father God, they'd be a blessing to many people, even multiplied. Thousands of families of the earth would be touched through their giving, through their life, through their influences that are raised up in covenant, believing that the God who said it should surely bring it to pass, no matter where they are in this life, where they are today, that God's increase and multiplication is coming upon them. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for those who are watching and those who are sharing. We pray, Lord, keep you, and we speak blessing, divine health over everyone that is part of this ministry in Jesus' name. Have a wonderful day. God bless you.
We had to stop the recording at that point, but you might be listening right now and you say, Pastor Joey, I wanted to pray that prayer. If I was there, I would have prayed with you. I'd like to pray right now, as a matter of fact. I'd like to give my life to Jesus Christ. I would like to have God in my life, and I'd like to know Jesus as my Savior and my Lord and surrender my life to Him. You know, repentance means to turn away from your way of doing things and to turn to God's way. We've done things our own way. Like they used to say in Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous, when I did the 12 steps, they said, your best decisions and your best ways of thinking and your best ways to handle life have gotten you to this situation. And now it's time to trust a higher power. Well, there is no higher power than the God of all the earth. His name is Jehovah. And he sent his son Jesus to die for you. And through him, you can turn from your way of doing things to his way. And his way is the right way, because he made you. And he made you for a purpose. And he knows exactly what you need to pull out your potential, to forgive you of your sins, deliver you from the things that keep you away from God in a sin and death cycle. And if you'd open up your heart to him right now, together with me, God can begin a new work in your life. So just pray with me wherever you're at, whether you're driving your car, whether you're at home, wherever you are, just pray with me and repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you now in the name of Jesus. I ask you to forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that your Son died for my sins. And on the third day, he was raised from the dead. From this day forward, I belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, I'd like you to contact me, and we can send you some more resources and materials that could help you start this new life, because this is the first day of the rest of your life. Email me at joe@nationsabroad.com or email the church at nfcontact@gmail.com. And we'd love to speak with you and just correspond with you and put you on the right path, maybe help you find some local churches there online or something, or maybe we know some pastors there that could follow up with you and help teach you the Word of God. Thank you for listening, and feel free to download the other podcasts and just feed on the Word of God.